feeding your passion for local sports in the afternoon. It's the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper on your radio at 1140 AM.
Streaming audio at SacktownSports.com and the Sacktown Sports app.
You can also watch the show on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140. Here are the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
All right, that's enough tomfoolery. We need to figure out what is going on with the Kings, how they're recovering from that debacle, whatever you want to call it, in Portland a few nights ago. So let's go with our guy, of course, traveling with the team from Portland now to Atlanta, where they take on the Hawks tomorrow night. Here's Kyle Draper. Drapes, what the heck was that in Portland?
Hey, man, I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm 36 hours removed. I'm here in Atlanta right now trying to enjoy my day. And you got to bring up old stuff, Whitey. That's not the way we're supposed to start off the show, man. That's just not the way we're supposed to start off the show. It's killing me.
We haven't had the chance to, get your input on what happened. We're reeling without Drapes to help us. I don't want to talk about it. That doesn't make us feel any better. I understand, but it doesn't make us feel much better about it, Kyle.
Yeah, you're right, man. What do they say in therapy? You can't run away from your problems.
Right.
You can't push things down. You got to face them. And us as Sacramento Kings fans, we got to face what we saw the other night. You know, I thought the Celtics loss was the worst loss of the season, but this one might have taken the cake. This one might have, overcame that. Because here's the thing. First of all, Portland was down two starters, Shaedon Sharpe and DeAndre Ayton. And these aren't two bums. These are two key members of their team. And Whitey, for the first time all year, we had our whole squad. Mike Brown had all the riches available to him. He could go small. He could go big. He could go quick. He could go slow. Like, he had every player available, and we lay an egg like that. And so that might have been the worst loss of the season. I will say this, because they had a lengthy film session yesterday, and was entirely focused on defense. We can talk about not making shots all we want. We could talk about, upgrading the talent all we want. But if guys aren't getting it done defensively, they're not going to win games. And there's a theme. Sure, they miss shots in a lot of these losses, yes. But to be a championship contender, you have to rely on your defense. In that film session, Mike Brown talked about the controllables, things that they can control, effort, defensive scheme, all that, and it was missing the other night against Portland. That's what's so frustrating about what we saw. It's not like the Blazers played lights out. We let them play lights out, and that's what's so upsetting.
I know a lot of fans have said this year, fans say this every year, and there's truth to it. Fans have been complaining that, hey, everyone's overreacting game to game. Everyone gets so excited when the Kings win and light the beam, and then they have a bad game, and everyone's so upset. Some of that is sports talk radio. That's kind of what we do. But this year, I think it's warranted from Kings fans because they've been so up and look so good, and then at times look so down. But I really think, and I think we've talked about this, Kyle, what it comes down to is just when you can't guard people, you're going to have those nights where everything goes the other way. And I think until they stabilize defensively one way or the other, I think they're going to be prone to the roller coaster.
I mean, we got to remember, and not us, me, you, fans, media, the players got to remember this is the NBA. These are the best players in the world. Sure, Portland may have been without two of their top guys, yes. But they got other guys. They got guys looking to make a name. Before this game the other night, who heard of Dwap Reith? Like, I'm still having nightmares about that guy. I still don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. Dwap Reith. The dude had 25 points against us. What about Jabari Walker? Where'd this guy come from? He had 17 points. And when you look at just the way Portland dominated the game, it wasn't the guys that we expected. Okay, no Ayton, no Shaedon Sharpe. Oh, you got to watch out for Simons and Brogdon. Jeremy Grant is going to go off. Watch out. Jeremy Grant had 13 points. We let the others beat us, and that's what's so frustrating. And I talked to Mike about it after the game in the post-game press conference. The theme that I'm seeing in all of these games, all of these losses, forget about the double digits, yes. But the reason why they're double-digit losses is because Sacramento in the first quarter lets these guys get comfortable. They want to get up and down. Everything's flowing offensively. But the other team is flowing offensively also. And so guys like Dwap Reith, guys like Jabari Walker, now all of a sudden they're playing a game with confidence.
Yeah.
And then, and so It's not about second half, fourth quarter, third quarter. It's about setting the tone early on. And time again, the Kings aren't doing that.
That's one of the most discouraging things about a team that can't defend well. Opponents know that, and they don't. When they get down, they say, oh, we'll be all right. These guys can't stop us. I do have to give you credit, which you deserve richly, because we played yesterday the cut from Mike Brown, where he was talking about Domas and De'Aaron Fox, and we had the question on it. It was your question, and he said, really interestingly, he said, you know, Domas, and as you well know, Domas and De'Aaron Fox, hey, yeah, they scored, but, you know, they got to play better defense too. And it's one of the first times, Kyle, that I can recall him pointing out that, yeah, those guys have to play defense too. Anyway, that was a great question you asked him.
Well, thank you. And that's one of the things, Whitey, on that point that upsets me about what happened the other day. Domas and De'Aaron were great offensively, but nobody on the team was great defensively. And so the fact that they lost that game takes away from the brilliance of Domas and De'Aaron on the offensive end. The headline the next day should have been about our two all-stars, our two all-NBA players combining for what did De'Aaron have? 43, I think it was, and Domas 34, 77 points. That should have been the headline. But as the leaders, Domas and De'Aaron, and I saw the film session, they made mistakes too. And so, you know, and kudos to Mike Brown. I asked the question, but the way Mike Brown responded, he has to hold the star players accountable also. He can't, you know, say, oh, yeah, those two had a great game. And, you know, no, they had a great offensive game. But what about the defensive miscues? And that's the thing that's what's so frustrating about this team. You know, we could talk about the three-point shot and missing shots and Kevin Huerter and all of this, but you still should have been able to win. We've talked about it, Whitey. When is this team going to win a 94-91 kind of game?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When is this team, when the offense is not flowing, all right, you know what, we're going to lock in defensively. There's no way that Portland Trail Blazers team should have scored a season high 130 points. They are not a good offensive team, and they were missing two of their starters. So it's all about the defense, and everybody has to take blame for that.
Sam Amick was on with Dave and Jason today, and Sam Amick was saying, you know, the Kings, if they want to contend this year, they have to be open to trades. We all know this, but it was interesting to hear the way Sam framed it. He says, you know what you are now after that loss. You know what you are. And if the Kings want to contend, they're going to have to be open to some deals. So people, fans are even more focused than they were when you left Sacramento to go on this road trip on, all right, who do they get? What do they do? Here on the chat, we've got from Patrick Kilkenny. What up, Whitey and Drapes? We need to get LaVine. Dude, it'd be awesome in Coach Brown's system. Big four, LaVine, Fox, Sabonis, Keegan. Wow, watch out. So then people going back and forth with him on that. I don't know, Kyle. I just, it's going to have to be, I think, somebody that we're not thinking of right now, because all the people that we've heard of that are available, the price is going to be too steep for it to make any sense for the Kings, I think.
Yeah, and I know we're going to get into this at length here, and I would love to hear from the viewers and listeners and fans out there on the YouTube and driving in the car. Here's the thing about the Sacramento Kings. Are we trying to fast-track their path to a championship? Meaning, before this season started, Whitey, I don't think anybody realistically thought that this was a championship contender. So what has changed here in the first 30 games of the season, or what have you, 28, 29 games of the season? Why all of a sudden are we quick to hit the panic button and make a move? We got to do this now. And I'm just talking about out loud right here.
Sure.
I'm not saying how I feel. Well, but beginning of the season, we were talking about maybe being a play-in team or hoping to be a top six team. Remember, John Hollinger and those guys had us have 39 wins, 41, 43 wins. I never believed that.
Monday through Friday on Sports.
Sorry about that, Kyle. Go ahead. Yeah.
I never believed that, but all of a sudden now we're all hitting the panic button. Like, oh my gosh, to be a contender this year. And I don't know if that was ever the plan or the expectation. What do you think about that?
I think what it comes down to is fans being fans. I'm a fan. I'm not looking down a fan. I'm a fan. We think things are supposed to go in linear fashion. Like, wow, we didn't know they're going to be that good last year. So that means they'll be better this year. And better than last year means, who knows, as well as they did last year. If you're better than last year, you got a shot here to maybe be a heavyweight in the conference. And so it looks like maybe, early on here, It's not clear that they're significantly better than last year. They may be, maybe not. We don't know. So fans get frustrated because, again, as you know this as well as I do, Kyle. It's all about the expectations, and expectations were raised last year as high as the beam itself.
Yeah, you're right. And I also think when you look at the Western Conference, it might be wide open, Whitey.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at the teams at the top. All of a sudden, Minnesota is now a championship contender. We didn't think that at the beginning of the season. Oklahoma City, all of a sudden, is a contender. And so I think, you know, for me and for fans, we're looking at it, hold on. If they can be going for it, if they're a champion, like, this could be our year, too.
Yeah.
Sure, Denver is great. You know, Denver will be there at the end, and we'll have to go through them. But I don't look at any of the Western Conference teams right now and say that they're unbeatable. They're not Boston. Like, if that's Boston was in the West, I'd be like, oh, man, we can't beat them. I don't know if we could beat them. But looking at it, and I think that's where the anxiety comes in. You know what? Let's go for it now comes in. It's that it might be there for the taking this season.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I also think fans take our cues from Mike Brown to a degree. And after these losses, you know, it's understandable. His frustration is almost palpable. And fans see that and they go, well, if he's frustrated, then I'm starting to get a little frustrated, you know, and he has been frustrated with the defense primarily. And the fact that they haven't made the progress that I think he was hoping they would have made by now.
Yeah. And they're 21st right now in defensive rating. And from a coach's standpoint, think about it like this, Whitey. You've been preaching defense pretty much ever since you got here. But more importantly, you've been preaching it this season even more so. Like, even since training camp, it's all been about defense, defense, defense. And then to not see the results, it has to be frustrating for Mike Brown. And it has to be frustrating for the it makes you think, all right, we're just not going to be a good defensive team. Maybe we need to make a move to go out there. That's why we're talking about trades and who could help. And think about it. Everybody's talking about Zach LaVine. I love Zach LaVine, the player, but he's not going to address the defensive issues. Right. And we can get into that. And so I do think they need to make a move to just improve the roster, improve the defense. When you look at it, I mean, they're too Jekyll and Hyde-ish right now for me. They could beat the Denvers, the Lakers, the Minnesotas. You know, they'd be OKC. They're 2-0 against OKC. But then they're losing to Portland. They're losing to Houston, the Pelicans, teams that are below them in the standings. And that's super concerning to me. I love talking about trade rumors because, honestly, that's what kind of drives the NBA during this time of year, especially with the trade deadline coming up in less than 2 months. And so we got some new names we can throw into the mix that might be interesting for Kings fans.
Absolutely. Yeah, to that end, we have three new names for Kings fans to pop into the trade machine when we come right back. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys, powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Hope you had a great Christmas. Before we get any further here, Whitey in Sacramento, Kyle Draper coming to us from Atlanta. I want to thank you, Kyle Draper, for making my Christmas more merry, you and Katie, because I think it was the Minnesota game right before Christmas. The Christmas sweaters that you guys wore with the Santa hats. Appreciate it. Filling our televisions and our living rooms with holiday cheer. I couldn't tell if you were really on board or not, but it was a good look.
Hey, it was Katie's idea. And you know me, Whitey. I'm a team player, baby.
Yeah.
I'm a team player. And so if Katie wants me to look like a fool, you know what? I'm okay with it. You know? No, I had fun with it, man. You know, and the thing about the sweaters, dude, they was wearing ugly Christmas sweaters. Like, those are nice sweaters, man. I'd rock that, you know, in June if I needed to.
Right.
You know? Like,
right.
I actually like that sweater, you know? Yeah.
I need to find these photos on Twitter because I was out of town for this game. I need to see Kyle Draper dressed up in a full Santa outfit for the broadcast. I got to find this.
I wonder if it's on my IG. Did I post it on the IG? I think I did. It's on the IG, Kyle Ledbetter.
Okay, I got to go find your Instagram then. I got you on Twitter, but I haven't found you on Instagram.
Oh, you don't follow me on IG? Is that how we rolling now?
I guess so. You know, my IG is my close friends, you know?
Oh, close friends. I see where I'm
going to go find you right now, Drapes.
Yeah. The look on your face, Kyle, was I thought it was kind of like, I don't really want to do this, but she wants me to do it, so I'm going to do it. But, you know, it wasn't my idea, but it was great. You guys pulled it off.
It was totally her idea.
Yeah. And then the game. So now the Kings have, let's face it, they've lost what? They've lost three or four, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah, three or four. Let me pull it up right here. Boston, Minnesota, and Portland's the outlier, right? Mm-hmm. Losing to Boston and Minnesota, okay, it happens. But Portland is the ugly one out of those three.
Yeah, Beamer, Beams, or Beamly. I would go after Thibel and John Collins. We've got people wanting to go after Lauri Markkanen. Yeah, so a lot of people talking about, let's see, Reddish or Wood or Vandy getting mentioned. Kyle came across a couple names. This was really interesting. This was written by a guy, Last Word on Sports, a guy named Miguel Carias, I believe, Carias. And I'm not familiar with him, but he had some really interesting points, didn't he, Kyle?
He did. He did. I came across this today, and it was about potential Kings trade targets. And the way he framed it is three players the Kings should be interested in. Not necessarily that they are or anything, but that they should be interested in. And one, we all know, OG Anunoby. We talked about OG all the time. We know that. But he had a couple of others that I thought were really interesting. He had Isaac Okoro for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. That's a solid one. We texted about that, Whitey. And also, a guy that I hadn't even thought about, Rui Hachimura. It was on his list, I believe. And so
I would
like to open up that discussion because I like all of those guys. And I'll start with Rui because to me, he would be the more ideal candidate for Sacramento because he's 6'8", he's rugged, he can shoot the ball. And so Lakers, they got to do something. They got to shake something up. I don't know what the Lakers would want in return. I don't know what we would give up. From a player standpoint, I actually like Rui Hachimura, and we saw him last year during the playoffs help the Lakers out. And so I think, you know, at age 24, he would fit in perfectly with Sacramento.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of him either, and I'm still not entirely clear to your point why the Lakers would move but off of him. But, yeah, I understand they may have to shake things up. I don't know how you feel. At this point, all the names that we've heard and some we haven't heard yet, anybody to me, if they can't help me defensively, right now I'm like, I'm not interested. I want to find people that are definitely going to help me at that end, which is why I think Rui would help. Isaac Okoro is a young player who's a good defender who is learning to become potentially an elite defender. Doesn't give you a great deal of offense, but his offense is improving. And at some point, Cleveland, he's going to be a restricted free agent after this year, and they've got a lot of guys they got to take care of.
Right.
So I can see why they may be ready to move off of him. Both those guys, Rui and Isaac Okoro. I hadn't thought of them, but both of them to me made me feel like I think that would help the Kings.
I agree with you. And to Isaac Okoro, I think he's a tough perimeter defender, shooting 38% from three, not taking a whole lot of attempts, about 2.8, something like that per game. But it's clear we need a higher level of defensive physicality on the wing. Mm-hmm. The wing position and the point guard position, but De'Aaron Fox is totally fine defensively at the point guard position. I'm not worried about that. I'm talking about the wings that we go up against, you know, the game tomorrow that we have. You know, Bogdan Bogdanovic is going to, you know, he's been fantastic. He's going to present a problem for us. DeJounte Murray, do we have a guy that can slow him down? I know he's not a big-time scorer, but he gets to his spots. And so who's our guy that we can turn to? And that's one of the things when you look at this roster, if you're Mike Brown. Let me ask you this, Whitey, and the people out there listening. Who's our defensive stopper on our team?
Keegan Murray, maybe?
Yeah, but Keegan's not quite there yet.
They kind of use Keon in that role, but he's not really that guy.
Right. Like, when things aren't going well defensively, who can we turn to? Who's our game changer defensively? And I think when you look at a championship-level team, you got to have that. You know, you look at Denver last year. You could throw KCP, Bruce Brown was in there. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at, you know, the Celtics when they had Marcus Smart. Who's our guy that we can, you know what, he's going to come in and make a difference on the defensive end. And so what we know now, though, regarding this Sacramento Kings team, and we got to put this in perspective, the roster is not a finished product. When it's time to win a championship, the roster is going to look a little bit different. I have to imagine. Monty McNair has to see it as well. And so if you're talking about winning the championship, I don't know if you could just let this team grow. And like, you got to make some tweaks. And I'm not saying go out there, swing for the fences, and go out there and get a big name or anything like that. But you look at what Denver did. Denver really didn't become a championship level team until they went out there and got Aaron Gordon. Remember, Aaron Gordon had toiled away in Orlando for some time, and then they realized, you know what, we got to rebuild. And so who's that player out there that's toiling on a bad team? Maybe it's a Zach LaVine. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe it's somebody with Detroit. I don't know. But somebody has to sort of, you know, sell low, and we're going to have to buy low in hopes of turning into an Aaron Gordon type that can really help you win a championship.
As you know, Atlanta is a tough matchup for the Kings. Their record's not very good, but they score. They're kind of like the Kings. Yeah. They score, but they don't stop people. So that could be a challenge. I had a thought about Keon Ellis. We were just talking about Keon Ellis. And you know I'm a Keon Ellis fan, so I don't mean this disrespectfully to him. But I was looking at the minutes today, and I think he's eighth on the team in minutes per game, Keon Ellis. On the one hand, it's like, wow, great. What a great story. He's made the most of his opportunity. On the other hand, if Keon Ellis is eighth in minutes, a guy who was going to be a two-way guy, that tells me there's a lot of guys that aren't playing as many minutes that the Kings thought were going to be better and contributing more at this point. I think both things are true. Nothing against him, but Duarte, Zankov, I think the Kings thought by now those guys would be contributing more than they have.
I think we all thought that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about the full press they put on to get Sasha here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking a EuroLeague MVP. This is the second best league in the entire world. And this guy can't sniff the court.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, he's in and out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's an issue. Chris Duarte. I thought Chris Duarte actually played pretty solid the other night. Mike Brown turned to him. I thought his compete level, but we also got to understand who Chris Duarte is. And I had a long talk with Doug Christie about this. Chris Duarte came into the league as an offensive player. He's now trying to fit into this role and adapt so he can get on the floor with his defense. And him and Doug Christie spent some time after shoot-around the other day working on one-on-one defense because that's going to be his value to this team. That's how he's going to see the floor. But that's not his MO. Chris Duarte is a bucket getter, you know, when he's at his best. And so I just think, you know, like I said, we had high expectations from some of the newcomers, especially Sasha.
Yeah.
And I'll even throw Keegan Murray in there because we've seen Keegan play great, but then also disappear as well. I'm not sure what happened the other night. Only 5 points, 2 of 11. We had high expectations for these guys. And they haven't always delivered. And so that's probably, you know, been one of the more frustrating things for me is that, you know, here you are right now, 17 and 12. If Sasha comes in, you know, and plays as he's billed, if Keegan comes in and plays as he's billed, maybe you're 20 and 9 right now or something like that instead. And so it's a little frustrating, man.
Yeah. Yeah. There is another name player. And actually, we mentioned him here in the conversation we just had, another name player who it appears could be on the market. Could this player be a fit for the Kings? We'll get into that next when we return. Kyle Draper in Atlanta, Whitey here in Sacramento. It's a Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
The Sacramento Kings road trip continues Friday in Atlanta.
The Sabonis backdoor cut. Keegan off the bounce with a two-hand flush.
Catch the Kings and the Hawks Friday at 4:30 on your home of the Kings, Sactown Sports.
Live and local, it's the Drive Guys. Watch the show on youtube.com/SacktownSports1140.
Or listen on the Sacktown Sports app.
You know, one thing as a basketball fan that I really appreciate is effort. Teams that play hard and people here on the chat, Kyle Draper, who really push their trade ideas. I appreciate the effort. May not agree with all the ideas, but appreciate the effort. Patrick Kilkenny is full of ideas today. Thank you, Patrick. He says, got to get Alex Caruso. He says Zach LaVine would do wonders in Coach Brown's system, and a change would do him good. He also says Keldon Johnson, another guy we could add. So I don't know if Patrick Kilkenny were the GM. I think we might be on the cusp of a big deal here, Kyle.
Yeah, he would. It sounds like he would. First of all, he'd bring in, you know, a backcourt from Chicago. We'd basically be Chicago West with Caruso and LaVine, first of all. But then also go out there and get Keldon Johnson. But he's ready to make a move. It's clear as day. Patrick Kilkenny is like, enough is enough.
Yes.
We need to do something. Mm-hmm. That's the vibe I'm getting from him.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. This hopefully will be, you know, fun over the next, what are we talking, 6-8 weeks, whatever it is, between now and the deadline. There is another name that, if you follow this, you know you've heard this, another name that has come up. It's a big-name player who supposedly may be on the market. I think we can add him to the list of who do we have. We have Anunoby, right, and Siakam,
yeah,
and LaVine, yep, and maybe Lauri Markkanen. He's kind of, we're not sure, maybe. And the Kings will see this guy tomorrow night. DeJounte Murray's name has popped up, Kyle, and I'm not saying, hey, Kings should get him, but I'm just, wow, a guy's available. Kings looking for help. Do you see any potential match there?
I am intrigued by that name. I think DeJounte Murray's a phenomenal player. People forget this guy was an all-star back in 2022. This guy is a tough-as-nails defender. His story is really interesting. He grew up in Seattle. You know, parents were, you know, not the best. Let me just say it. Like, he had a rough upbringing.
Uh-huh.
And he turned it himself into what he is now. And I talked to Doug Christie about this guy at Lake. Doug loves DeJounte Murray. Doug says he sort of reminds him of himself, actually, believe it or not. So we might have a second coming. I love DeJounte Murray. I think he's top three in deflections. He's long, athletic, could play alongside De'Aaron Fox, gives you that defensive presence that you want. And he's not that bad of a three-point shooter. A lot of people knock him, for, you know, says he doesn't shoot threes. I just pulled it up, Whitey. When I look at his numbers this season, he's shooting 37.4% from three, and he's taking 6.2 per game. So it's not like he's only taking one or something like that. Like, this guy is getting it up. The only caveat with DeJounte Murray, who's 27, is when you look at his contract. His contract balloons after this year, I believe it is. Let me pull it up. He goes from $18 million this year to $25.5 million next year, $27.5 million the following year, then $29.5 million after that. And so he's a hefty financial price. But from a basketball standpoint, I would love DeJounte Murray with Sacramento. This is a guy that works hard.
Yeah.
Not in the news for any, you know, you don't hear anything negative about him. Came up under Greg Popovich in that San Antonio Spurs system. I think he would be phenomenal in Sacramento.
I was surprised when the Spurs traded him, but I think they got, what, three number ones for him or something. So, you know, they got quite a haul back for him.
They're unprotected, too. So no matter how bad they are, they're going to San Antonio.
Yeah, so it was, like, well, they got a lot for him, so I get that. He has worked on playing off the ball, playing with, you know, Trae Young. He's had to play off the ball when he's really more of a natural point guard, and he's done. He's made adjustments there. So I think that shows, to your point, that he's a pretty selfless player who is willing to adapt his game for the good of the team. And as you said, remember, my number one thing is, how about this guy? Well, can he help defensively? And he can. So, yes, I'm in on him.
Yeah.
The price, again, it cost a lot for the Hawks to get him, and it would cost a lot for the Kings to get him from the Hawks, especially because, you know, the Kings aren't the only team looking at him going, hey, we like him.
Yeah, and I wonder, because I think the Lakers are rumored interested as well. So you'll have some competition, no doubt about it. But, you know, if I'm the Atlanta Hawks and we'll see them tomorrow, they're what, 12-18, I think, on the season. It has not worked.
No.
You know, and I think they're going to be an active team at the trade deadline. Is it Trae Young? Probably not. But somebody else, something else has to happen with this Atlanta Hawks team. And if it's DeJounte Murray, I'm picking up the phone if I'm Monty McNair. It would take a lot. It would probably probably take a couple of first round picks for sure, and a couple of players, obviously. But, you know, if you're Monty, the thing about DeJounte also, Whitey, and we've talked about this, he's not the type that's going to demand the ball and demand 20 shots a game.
Right.
You know? And so in terms of Keegan's development, it's not like DeJounte is going to come in and be a ball hog and upset that. And so we've talked about it. I think whoever they decide to bring in, I think the priority is still to allow Keegan to develop. So I don't know if they bring in somebody that would stunt his growth. And I don't think DeJounte would do that.
Yeah. And as far as giving up draft picks, if you have a player you're getting that everyone agrees, like, that's a really good player. I don't know about you, Kyle, but I have no problem giving up multiple ones to get that guy, especially given where we think the Kings will be picking over the next few years. You never know. But if you figure you're picking, you know, later in the first round, let's say you traded two or three number ones for a really good player. If you're picking 24th, are you going to get a really good player with anyone, let's say three picks? You might, but the odds are not necessarily. But if I can trade that and get a guy that I know right now, I can plug him in, boom, I'm a better team. I have really no problem with that.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at it, look at a team like Boston or a team like Denver. They don't mind trading their first round picks to your point, because they know it's not going to be worth as much, you know, it's not going to be a lottery pick. And you could also, if you need to, throw in some sort of lottery protections just to protect yourself, top eight, something like that, you know, just to protect yourself. And so I think now the Kings are at a point, like you said, Whitey, where we're not looking for lottery picks anymore. We're not trying to hold on to our picks to get something in the draft. Think about it. They had a 24 pick last year.
Yeah.
And what they do, they trade it back, you know? And so they clearly didn't value that pick as much in terms of making a selection. I think we're past the point of, you know, drafting a young player and hoping he comes in and helps rescue us and save. I think now you need established veterans or guys, you know, who can help get you over the hump. And I think DeJounte Murray, you know, from everything I've heard about him, Whitey, hard worker, locker room, leader, everything, he would be perfect in Sacramento.
Yeah. What you do, and, you know, everybody knows this, everybody does this, is you call Pop and say, Pop, we're interested in Murray. What about him? And, you know, if Pop says he's great, you know, then it's like, okay, that's right. That's all you need to know. You can easily find out. No, he's selfless. He's great. You know, Pop will do that. I have a question for you, and it might be a little wonky as far as the Hawks and trade protections. Chris Watkins and I were kicking this around. You know, you and I were talking about, you brought it up, the fact that the Kings have, there's a number one going to Atlanta, but they're not sure when it conveys. Yeah. If that's a problem for you, if that uncertainty is a problem, are there ways where potentially you can go, look, Atlanta, we'll give you some sort of considerations if you will either waive that or clear that up for us? There are ways around that, right? If it really got in your way, the Hawks might be willing to work with you to help you out, in theory, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you could remove the protections.
Yeah.
And if for both teams, you know, they would have to agree to that, obviously.
Sure.
Something like that. I don't know if Atlanta would do that. Like, let's say we'll take off the protection. Then it conveys this year. Well, Atlanta's like, man, we didn't want that 23rd overall pick. Like,
we were hoping something. Yeah, you'd have to give something on the other end.
Yeah, you gotta sweeten the pot, something else.
Yeah,
exactly. As part of the DeJounte Murray trade. Yeah, I think you definitely can do something like that. And so that's the holdup for Sacramento. They need this pick to convey at some point so that they can start dealing some of these future draft picks. I think right now, if it conveys this year, but you can't trade your 2025. You got to wait 2 years because you can't trade back-to-back first-round consecutive years.
Yeah.
And so you need this pick. You need some clarity with this pick at some point if you're going to try to include some draft picks. And to your point, if you say, hey, Atlanta, you know, we'll remove some of the, you know, we'll remove the protections and we'll sweeten the pot to go, you know, as part of a DeJounte Murray deal, I think that's something both teams would agree to.
There's so many of these names that we kick around and will continue to kick around that don't quite add up. You know, it's like, well, that's a good player, but PJ Washington, you know, he's kind of good, but I don't know. But DeJounte Murray, you can see that, yes, he would help right now. At least it appears that way. So there you go. Kyle Draper and I have solved.
Is that
Kings.
Our guy?
We've solved the Kings problem.
We're go, all in Kings fans. This is our guy. It took us about 2 months to figure it out.
Yep.
Remember, we started with Pascal and OG, Levine, Caruso.
I went through my Jeremy Grant period. Right? Yeah, yeah. You were very patient with me.
But now we have our guy. And so I wonder what people would think about that, man, uh-huh. about getting DeJounte Murray, because I would be all in on this guy. Obviously, I wouldn't, you know, give up any of our core guys or anything like that, but I think he would be a great fit in Sacramento.
Yeah, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You want to give us a call, shoot us a text. What do you think? Kyle and I solving all the Kings' problems like that, you know, fingers crossed. Also, when we come back, tell you how the NFL stole Christmas from the NBA. It's The Drive, guys, on Sactown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
Thanks for being with us today. We'll get to the phones in just a moment. Kyle Draper is back. Yesterday, Phantom was in. And Kyle, we may have to do a redo on this. We had a poll yesterday where we asked people to help us name the Kings' number one celebrity fan. We had Sam Elliott
because he narrates that thing about the 100 years and the team that should have in 2002.
So we had him because he's from Sacramento.
Thank you very much.
We had Greta Gerwig, who directed Barbie. We had, what's the comedian, Kyle, that we had?
Hasan Minhaj.
Hasan Minhaj.
Yeah, Hasan Minhaj, yep.
And then we were kind of stuck, and then Phantom came up with Logan Webb. So those were our four candidates, and it wasn't even close. Sam Elliott won in a landslide, and we realized we're not even sure he's a Kings fan. So I don't know how much water that holds. I'm sorry that happened when you were gone.
Yeah, I see where the discussions go. You know, throw our guy Dusty Baker in there, too. Ah, to give Dusty some love.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
he got to be in the mix, too, right?
Yeah.
So, no, that's a good one. Hopefully, we're getting more and more celebrity fans as this thing improves. Tyra Banks used to be one of our most famous ones back in the day.
Sure.
When her and Chris Webber were dating. That's a pretty big name, so.
We considered Fitty, but, you know, we decided he kind of was an employee, so we don't know if he was really a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But he's also the only non-player other than Vivek to light the beam.
Huh.
He was a business partner,
right,
though, you know.
Right, right.
You know, he got deals in Houston, Indiana also, I think. So, I'm not going to. Yeah, we don't need those type of fans, you know.
Yeah. So
with, like, eight favorite teams,
right,
you know.
It could be Sam Elliott, but we first have to find out if he's ever even actually been to a game.
He was out of Sacramento before the team got here.
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. More importantly, Kyle and I have figured out the road forward, the path forward for the Kings. DeJounte Murray of the Hawks, according to reports, he could be available. We think he'd be a great fit. What do you think? Let's talk to Ken, who joins us here on Sactown Sports. Ken, you're on with the Drive Guys. What's up?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Hey, Ken.
First of all, as far as celebrities go, I think we got to look beyond that. I think we got an identity now. We don't need any fans to be like, oh, they got these guys coming to root for them. And if I was going to say a fan, even though he's a part, I would say Fitty only because of his name in the social media structures.
Okay.
So that's it.
Okay.
But other than that, guys, the reason why I was calling, you know, I'm hearing and I'm talking about the Kings, but right now, to me, when I hear you guys talking about the Kings, unless the Kings figure out another way to win, because right now the Kings have one way to win. That's when everything is going well for them. But if everything isn't going well for them, they cannot win. They can't get a stop to save their lives when they need one. The other night in Portland, it was a layup drill. Mm-hmm. When they wasn't shooting layups, they were shooting wide open threes. And quite frankly, Portland shouldn't be beating the Sacramento Kings. And so when I look at this team, I'm sorry. We don't have a shooting guard. You cannot have a shooting guard that is shooting 43% from two and 36% from three. That's not a shooting guard. That's a sometimes guard. And right now, if it wasn't for the great times when Malik Monk has come off to save us, we don't get anything from the number two guard. As long as we're getting that inconsistent. I like Kevin Huerter when he's on, but quite frankly, he gets open shots because they can't believe he can shoot. I know he's struggling, but we're 20-some games in. You cannot have a two-guard who can't shoot.
So hold up. I hear you. I get it. My guy Kevin Huerter's struggling. But let's not forget, he was a big part of what we did last season. Kevin Huerter, without Kevin Huerter, you don't win 48 games. So if you want to have the discussion, all right, when is enough? When are we jumping off the Kevin Huerter train? We can have that discussion. Is it time to say, you know what? Everything you did for us last year, Kevin, it ain't working this year. We got to upgrade. Is that what we're saying right now?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Kyle, apparently we lost Ken, so Ken's not there to respond to you. And by the way, Ken, one of the great callers in the history of the station. So, Ken, great to hear from you. Invite you to call back many, many more times in the new year. To me, the deal with Huerter, I understand the frustration. And if he doesn't shoot better, yeah, he's not helping you. But I think unless you can bring in somebody else, to me, the thing that makes the most sense, Kyle, the thing that gives you the best chance of getting a positive result out of that is it's what the Kings have done. It's staying with him and hoping he finds it. If you were to say, like, bench him, or which, you know, when he's really struggling in some games defensively, he doesn't play a lot. But if you were to, like, take him out of the rotation, that didn't help you at all. So their best chance, as tough as it is when he's struggling, is to leave him out there and hope that he finds his stroke again, right?
Yeah, and what you're seeing with Mike Brown, Mike has given him an ample opportunity. And if the shot's not falling, we've seen games where Kevin Huerter's played 17 minutes.
Right.
1 minute, you know? And so I don't know, man. You know, I don't think the answer is let's go out there and find more shooting, because Kevin Huerter has proven he can shoot. I think now if you want to have the conversation, well, we need to upgrade defensively. Okay, we can have that. But, you know, let's not say, you know, what Kevin Huerter gives this team, and I disagree with the last caller there, teams still respect Kevin Huerter. It's not like they're giving him wide open looks or anything like that. He's still a threat out there. He's just missing right now. But he's shooting 35%. It's not like he's shooting 30%, Whitey, or anything like that. He's shooting 35% from three. He's in a tough stretch right now. He's struggling right now. I agree. But, you know, even when I pull up some of the numbers regarding Kevin Huerter, let's look at over his last 9 games. You know, he's struggling from three. It's 28.6%. And so Mike Brown is sticking with him in that starting lineup. And to your point, if you don't stick with him in the starting lineup and put him on the bench, is he your 7th and 8th guy now? Like, then you're burying him to an extent. And so, no, I think, you know, Mike Brown is riding with these guys. But there will come a point if we get into late January, Whitey, and he's still struggling, then it's like, oh, man, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. So we can't let this spiral away. I do agree with that.
Yeah, because right now that is you don't have a lot of good options. That's your best one of what's available. Kevin Huerter, it's funny you say that because I was just looking up his numbers yesterday, and you're right. I mean, he's averaging about 10 a game, and he's shooting, what, 35%. That's not horrible. It's down from last year, but clearly for him to help you, he needs to do better than that. And he knows that better than anybody. But if he's going to help you and be worth the minutes, he's got to shoot better than that. So yeah, if you could find a solution, okay. But in the meantime, your best bet is to hope that the shots start falling. And it's a strange thing, right? Because he had a great year last year. And then it seemed to be whatever happened in the playoffs, he just hasn't had the same stroke since then, other than, you know, fits and starts a little bit here, a little bit there. But overall, he just hasn't been the same shooter. I don't know why.
I don't know why either. But you got to imagine, I mean, here's a guy that's been a shooter his whole life, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. His whole career. It's not like all of a sudden he forgot how to shoot, you know? And so I think he's closer to the player we saw last year than what we're seeing this year. There's no reason he shouldn't be a 39% three-point shooter, close to a 40% three-point shooter. The dude is just struggling right now. He's going through it right now. And I tell you, if he can come out of it offensively, man, this team, you know, I think they're 12th in offensive rating right now. They were first last year. Like, there's no reason why this team shouldn't be a top 10 offensive rating team, but they're just not shooting the ball well this season. Think about it. De'Aaron Fox is your best three-point shooter this season.
Right.
On a team with Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, Kevin Herter, it's De'Aaron Fox. And it's not a knock on him. It's just he's not known as a shooter like those other guys. Mm-hmm. We need those other guys to start hitting some shots.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. If you want to weigh in here on what's the best path forward for the Kings, DeJounte Murray, is he the answer? Also, as promised, take a look at how the NFL has apparently stolen Christmas from the NBA. That and more when we come right back. Drive, guys, Sactown Sports.